the divided economy that Nelson Mandela had to confront in South Africa.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The death yesterday of Nelson Mandela in South Africa is a reminder of how economics can be a tool of oppression as well as a tool of liberation. The BBC's Matt Davies covered South Africa for many years. We reached him this morning on assignment in Eastern Europe, as it happens. Matt, thanks for pulling off the road there to link up with us.
My pleasure.
The structure of an economy is also a human rights story. Let's talk for a moment about Mr. Mandela's economic legacy. I mean, he fought against the system of social engineering that enforced this unconscionable gap between rich and poor, and dismantling it is really an ongoing story.
What Mr. Mandela really did was to create an atmosphere of stability in the post-apartheid economy. Now, the apartheid economy itself, it was hit by sanctions in a big way. What he did was create political stability, which was then able to build the economy from there on in.
How well was he able to ensure that the proceeds of the country's economic growth were spread more equally among the black majority?
Well, he certainly planted the seeds. There has been a certain amount of inclusion in the economy that was certainly missing under the apartheid days, but there is still this massive wealth gap between the rich and the poor in South Africa. I mean, the average white household actually makes six times more the income than a black household. So there are these huge gaps between the rich and the poor, and they remain to this day.
Matt, you mentioned the role of economic sanctions in cracking the back of apartheid. What's so interesting about the sanctions story is that this was a grassroots movement globally, college students that really pushed this forward.
The sanctions really bit into South Africa at various points, but towards the end, I was living in South Africa towards the end of apartheid, and the sanctions really started to bite. There were all sorts of companies, like Coca-Cola is a good example, who were announced that they'd leave South Africa. Others left as well. The sanctions themselves did actually make a great deal of difference in bringing down the apartheid regime.
The BBC's Matt Davies reported for many years from South Africa. As it happens, we reached him on a roadside in Romania. Mr. Davies, thank you.
Thank you very much.
South Africa has declared 10 days of national mourning. The first formal public event will be a memorial service for Mr. Mandela at the stadium known as Soccer City in Soweto, near Johannesburg. Checking the markets this morning, the FT 100 stock index in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up ahead of the U.S. government's November jobs report due later this morning. In China, hundreds of flights were delayed or canceled today in the commercial hub of Shanghai as record levels of air pollution shrouded the city in smog, prompting authorities there to issue the highest level of health warning. The condition is especially embarrassing for Chinese officials at a time when China is promoting a specific plan to build Shanghai into a global business hub on par with the likes of London, New York, and Hong Kong by the year 2020. We'll have the government's official reading on jobs in about an hour and a half, with unemployment in the U.S. still over 7%. But new jobs are being created at a slow but steady clip now. There are a lot of people applying for virtually every position advertised. This wave of applicants has to be screened by someone or something. Now, most likely, it's a computerized applicant tracking system. As Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, some companies are trying to put the human touch back into this screening process.
Going to offerings to see if they have anything to do with my field, information services in the healthcare industry.
Christina Bowski is filling out an online job application. She enters her contact information, copies dates and degrees into text boxes on the screen.
In some systems, you can't even tell that it actually has been received. So it's like going into the dark hole.
Another dark hole, your application can be rejected if the job titles or requested salary don't precisely match what the software is programmed to look for. Career consultant Barbara Bardi.
It can't look at the emotional side to things at all. It can only see on paper skills and expertise. It can't really see them in action.
In fact, recruiters can now see a candidate in action through new video interviewing platforms. The site at hireview.com lets candidates answer customized questions from an employer, say how they dealt with a demanding customer or an intolerant boss. HireView CEO Mark Newman.
We believe that people aren't represented by profiles and resumes or anything like that. That's kind of a travesty of HR technology. We ultimately think that people are voices and experiences and ideas for the future and stories.
Consider how electronic job screening might deal with former military members.
Your resume might talk through around how you made battlefield decisions and led teams and led this and led that. But if you apply online for a job, you don't have 2 years of hospitality experience helping people address the problem of do they have a cold cup of coffee.
Hilton Hotels now invites people who haven't even applied for a specific job yet to submit an introductory video, says VP Rodney Moses.
We can do scenarios. You know, they can be in real-life job situations, and they can answer. And you can actually see their response versus, you know, someone typing something into a computer.
He says this adds some of the human element back into electronic job search. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And Reuters is reporting the head of the World Trade Organization is preparing to submit the text of a global trade deal to the WTO membership for what just might be an agreement later today. Robert Acevedo's move signals he's resolved India's objections to a section covering food subsidies, which had held up a key roadblock to the global trade deal. The on-again, off-again Doha round has been in the works for 12 years. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.